4:15 a.m. Tony called Stanley as soon as she had a spare moment. She dialed his number and got the disconnected tone. Perhaps the snow had brought down the lines. Come on, come on! Tony stared impatiently out of the great hall window. Where were the police? The snowplough? They should be here by now. She hoped they could leave immediately and get on the track of the van, which would be easy to spot with the name Hibernian Telecom in large letters. But then, of course, the thieves might have thought of that. They'd probably planned to switch vehicles soon after leaving the Kremlin. That's how she'd have done it. She'd have left a nondescript car, something like a Ford Fiesta, say, in a car park outside a supermarket or a railway station. So what were the possibilities? They needed a nearby location where a vehicle might be parked without attracting attention. There were no railway stations or supermarkets in the vicinity. What then? She went to the reception desk, got a notepad and made a list. Inverburn Golf Club, Happy Eater, Dewdrop Inn Motel, Greenfingers Garden Centre. She did not want Carl to know what she was doing. He'd returned to the warmth of the hall and was listening to everything. Although, unknown to him, he could no longer phone from the car. Steve had sneaked out and taken the keys from the ignition. She tore her paper in two and gave half to Steve. Listen, she said quietly, ring these places. Everything's closed, of course, but you might find a caretaker. Say we've had a robbery. Ask if there's a telecom van abandoned outside. But I don't want Carl to hear, so don't use the desk phone. Go where he can't eavesdrop. Use the mobile you took from him. Steve nodded, and she moved away. Using her mobile, she called inquiries, got the numbers for the motel and garden centre, and dialed.
Dewdrop Inn, Vincent speaking. How may I help you?
She went through her routine.
Well, there are vehicles in our car park. We're open over Christmas.
Well, would you mind having a look? It's really important.
Actually, I'm quite busy.
At this time of night, Tony thought. It would save the police making a trip to interview you. That worked.
Hold on.
He went away and came back.
Yes, it's here.
Tony's heart missed a beat. Really? It seemed a long time since she'd enjoyed a piece of luck.
Blue Ford Transit, Hibernian Telecom. It can't have been there long. It's not under as much snow as the rest.
Thank you. That's tremendously helpful. I don't suppose you noticed whether another car's missing. Possibly the one they left in?
No, sorry.
OK, thanks again. She looked across at Steve. I've found the getaway vehicle. He nodded towards the window.
And the snowplough's here.
4:30 a.m. Daisy drained her cup of tea and filled it again with whiskey. Kit felt unbearably tense. Nigel and Elton might be able to keep up the pretense of being innocent travellers, but Daisy was hopeless. She looked like a gangster and acted like a hooligan. Stanley picked up the bottle from the kitchen table and put it in a cupboard. Daisy looked as if she were ready to kill him. But the tension was broken by Miranda, who came in wearing a pink nightgown.
Oh, you're up early, said Stanley.
Couldn't sleep. She looked at the strangers.
Miranda, meet Nigel, Elton and Daisy.
Kit had introduced them a few minutes before and had given their real names before realising his mistake. Their car died on the main road. I picked them up.
Where on earth did you go in this weather?
Oh, you know, couldn't sleep, felt lonely. Went to look up an old girlfriend in Inverburn.
Oh, which one?
I don't think you know her. Lisa Fremont?
He'd thought of a name quickly. A character in a Hitchcock movie.
Was she pleased?
She wasn't in.
Miranda turned away to pick up the coffee pot, and Kit wondered whether she believed him.
And where are you from? Stanley addressed Nigel. You don't sound Scots.
It seemed like small talk, but Kit knew his father was probing.
Well, I live in Surrey, work in London, Canary Wharf.
Oh, what nice gloves!
Miranda brought her coffee to the table. Daisy's expensive-looking suede gloves were soaking wet.
Why don't you dry them? You need to stuff them so they'll keep their shape.
Daisy gave her a hostile look.
I'm fine.
Don't be daft, Daisy, said Nigel.
Do what the lady says, she's being nice.
Kit waited for the explosion. But, to his surprise, Daisy took off her gloves and he was astonished to see that she had small, neat hands. The rest of her was brutish, but her hands were beautiful And obviously she knew it, for they were well manicured, with clean nails and a pale pink nail varnish. Kit was bemused. Somewhere inside that monster there was an ordinary girl. So what had happened? She'd been brought up by Harry Mack, that was what. Here, use this. Miranda helped her stuff the wet gloves with kitchen paper. So, how are you three connected? Daisy looked panicked.
Her father's an old friend of mine, said Nigel quickly. We go way back. And Elton works for me.
Well, I'm sorry the weather's turned out so poorly for you, said Stanley. When were you planning to return?
Boxing Day.
A short visit.
Well, you know, work to do.
You might have to stay somewhat longer. I can't see them clearing the roads by tomorrow.
The thought seemed to make Nigel anxious. He looked at his watch, and for Kit, the strain was becoming unbearable. Was his father suspicious or merely curious? He jumped up.
I'm hungry. Scrambled eggs and bacon, everyone.
I'll give you a hand, said Miranda. She put sliced bread in the toaster.
And how about your Christmas, Professor Oxenford? Said Elton, suddenly talkative. Got your family around you, eh? What's that? Two children?
Three.
With husbands and wives, of course. Any grandchildren?
Yes, four.
All here?
Yes.
That's nice for you. And Mrs. Oxenford?
Sadly, my wife died.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
What was this interrogation about? Kit asked himself. Elton was smiling, but it was a charade, and he hadn't finished.
Must be a big house to sleep, what, 10 of you?
We have outbuildings, a cottage and a barn.
Handy. And staff quarters?
They live a mile away. I doubt we'll see them today.
Oh, shame.
Elton lapsed into silence again, having carefully established exactly how many were on the property. Kit wondered whether that was obvious to his father.